When Pappy Bowington formed the Black Sheep in August of 1943, they took their squadron number from a squadron who was on R&R leave in Australia at the time. That squadron was the original VMF 214, the Swashbucklers. One of those pilots off in Australia with the Swashbucklers was Lieutenant Robert Hansen, who had joined them as a replacement pilot, and had completed just one combat tour before the Swashbucklers were broken up as a squadron. While Pappy took the Black Sheep forward into combat, Hansen would join VMF 215, the Fighting Corsairs, who were on Espirito Santo in a training cycle before a return to combat. Pappy and Hansen's combat tours in the Solomon's Island campaign would alternate from then on. When Pappy was in combat, Hansen was on R&R, and vice versa. While they would not share time in combat together, Pappy and Hansen did share several things in common. Both were college wrestlers who liked to mix it up from time to time, and both had reputations as aggressive pilots and excellent aerial gunners. After Pappy's disappearance in early January 1944, Hansen would emerge as the leading ace in theater. It appeared that Hansen would soon eclipse Foss and Pappy as the Marine Corps' leading ace. But in war, the enemy has a vote, and Hansen's run of victories would end just shy of the record with his death on February 3rd, 1944. Welcome to the Aviation Medals of Honor podcast. Robert Hansen was born in Lucknow, India, on February 4, 1920, the son of Methodist missionaries. He would set foot on U.S. soil for the first time when his parents sent him to live with his grandfather in Minnesota in order to attend junior high. It was here that Hansen got his first airplane ride. Like a lot of the aviation crazy boys of his generation, his first time airborne came in the cockpit of a Barnstormer, one of the many that toured the country selling rides. He returns to India to complete secondary school at the Woodstock School. I looked it up. It's an absolutely beautiful campus in the foothills of the Himalayas. Back in India, Hansen's only 18 years old when he wins the light heavyweight wrestling championship for his province, which covered a large swath of northern India. A remarkable feat for someone so young, competing against much older and more experienced men. When he finishes up school, Hansen's parents want him to return to the U.S. for college, and he agrees, but only if he can make his way to the States via a bicycle tour of Europe. He's on his bike tour, making his way through Austria in March of 1938, when the German 8th Army enters Austria, part of Hitler's annexation of Austria. The experiences that many of the greatest generation had in their youth always amaze me. The freedom to explore, and the lives of adventure they led at a young age are truly remarkable. Hansen attends a small college in Minnesota, where he learns three additional languages, in addition to the Hindustani he already knew, while continuing to wrestle and participate in football and track. Meanwhile, he's also a bouncer at a local nightclub, and learning how to fly. Again, I'm amazed at how much his generation lived every day. He's in college when the attack on Pearl Harbor happens, and Hansen is quick to enlist in the Naval Aviation Cadet Program. He leaves school in May of 1942, just one quarter shy of graduation. On February 19, 1943, he earns his wings, and opted for the Marine Corps over the Navy, his commission as a second lieutenant. He's sent to the South Pacific and joins VMF 214, the previously mentioned Swashbuckler's version, in late June of 1943. The Swashbucklers have completed one combat tour in the Wildcat and are transitioning to the Corsair when Hansen joins. He gets just a little time in the Corsair, but earns a reputation as a solid pilot and a good gunner by the time 214 flies off to the Benica fighter strip on the Russell Islands just north of Guadalcanal on July 21, 1943. The fight for the new Georgia Islands, a group of islands within the Greater Solomon's Chain, was back in full swing as the Allies once again took the offense after several weeks of stagnation on the ground. And the swashbucklers were busy flying escort or strafing missions in that area, as well as a few missions farther up the slot to Bougainville. On August 4, 1943, Hansen flies his first combat mission. On that mission, the Marines and Kiwi P-40s mix it up with a sizable Japanese contingent near Kalambangara in the New Georgia group. When his fight lead is jumped by two Japanese aircraft, Hansen races in to help. And in his flight lead's words, Hansen, quote, shot his ass off, unquote. Hansen is credited with a zero, although it was likely a Ki-61 Hein. Called the Tony by the Allies, the Ki-61 was an inline-engine, liquid-cooled aircraft with a look and performance similar to that of a P-40. It was a Japanese Army aircraft and was mostly encountered in the New Guinea campaign, but were also seen from time to time in the Solomons. The Tony was a departure from the design philosophy of the Japanese, which favored lightweight, highly maneuverable fighters. While the Tony was certainly not as maneuverable as the Zero, it did have a couple of advantages over the Zero series. One being that it had self-sealing fuel tanks, so it didn't flame as easily as the Zero. Additionally, its heavier weight made it accelerate quicker in a dive, which somewhat took away the Allies' ability to dive away to safety. It was a decent fighter, but overall not a match for the Corsair. Additionally, it suffered from production and reliability problems. It wasn't encountered that often in the Solomons. But it seems like it was a Tony that Hansen shot down that day, as his flight lead took it close aboard and got a good look at the enemy plane. Regardless, Hansen's off to a pretty good start with a kill on his first combat mission. Air-to-air opportunities are sporadic. In the next couple weeks, Hansen doesn't have any opportunities to add to a single victory. He has a bit of excitement on August 25th, when he has to brake hard to avoid a Corsair in front of him, and his aircraft flips on his back. He's unhurt, though, and back in action the next day. On that mission on the 26th, supercharger trouble has Hansen lagging behind his division. Various mechanical problems are pretty common with the Corsair at the time. It's an order of complexity above the Wildcat it replaced. And, just like the pilots, the ground crews are still gaining experience in the aircraft. Additionally, the tropical conditions are hard on both people and machines. Aborts were a common thing, and Hansen would probably have been justified turning for home, but he sticks with his division the best he can. It works out pretty good for him this time. He's lagging behind as the fight is joined, and he is unnoticed by a Zero who had just made a firing run on one of his division's Corsairs. When the Zero rolls out in front of him, Hansen sends him down in flames for his second kill. A few days later, on August 31st, the swashbucklers completed their final mission of their second combat tour, although it was the first for Hansen and several other replacement pilots, and they depart eagerly for the rear area. As they rotate through Espirito Santo on their way to Australia, they hear the rumors of the squadron breaking up, that some other squadron was going to take the VMF 214 number. They lodge a protest before leaving Espirito and are confident the squadron would stay intact. It wasn't to be. By the time the swashbucklers return to Espirito on 30 September, Happy and his iteration of VMF 214 are already a couple weeks into their first combat tour as the Black Sheep. The swashbucklers are broken up and assigned to various other units. Nine of the former swashbucklers, including Hansen, are assigned to VMF 215, who are in a training phase between combat tours. On October 19th, VMF 215 is off to Vella La Vella to return to combat. They are flying missions up towards Bougainville, but the Japanese had for the most part evacuated their aircraft back to Rabaul, and aerial encounters are rare. However, with the invasion of Bougainville on 1 November, things once again heat up in the air, and Hansen is part of a division of 215 Corsairs providing cover over the invasion fleet on that first day, when Hansen spots 6 Zeros headed towards the invasion beaches. His division leader commences the attack, and the speedy Corsairs overtake the Zeros as the four Marines split after individual targets. Hansen sends one down in flames, and fires on another, which explodes in a blinding flash. Clearing that victim, Hansen spots 6 Kate torpedo bombers inbound to the invasion fleet. Alone, Hansen knifes into the formation, scattering the Kates and causing them to jettison their ordnance and break off their attack. Hansen chases one back to the north, eventually sending it down and watching it splash down in the ocean. He's picked up some damage at some point in the fight, though, and his Corsair is running rough as he heads back south. He makes it back to within about 5 miles of the invasion fleet before he has to set it down in the water. Despite his proximity to the fleet, he spends about 4 hours in his raft before being picked up by a destroyer. A couple days later, the destroyer drops him off on Guadalcanal with a belly full of Great Navy Chow. He doesn't seem much fazed by his misadventures, writing his parents, quote, "Healthy, happy, not hurt, and 3 more Japs under my belt. That makes 5 and a probable. The destroyer that picked me up was a brand new one, and boy, what swell chow," unquote. He grabs a brand new Corsair and ferries it back to join 215 at Vela La Vela. It's hit or miss on any aerial action for 215 for the rest of the month, mostly miss. There's plenty of air-to-ground strafing action, just not aerial combat, and Hansen fails to add to his totals before 215 completes its second combat tour and departs for Sydney on 27 November. VMF 215 returns to Vela La Vela on 6 January, 1944. By now, the Torokina airstrip on Bougainville is open, and Albert Halsey's fighters have been hitting Rabaul since mid-December. The theater's leading ace, Pappy Boeington, had been lost just 3 days prior, and the fight for air dominance over Rabaul remains in full swing when 215 shows up. The Japanese are active and aggressive, fighting to defend the prize of the South Pacific, Rabaul. 215's first mission to Rabaul on the 7th of January has 50 Zeros engaged by a like number of Allied fighters. That's the way it's going to go for the next several weeks for 215. If the weather allows them to get through to Rabaul, there's a high likelihood of meeting the enemy in numbers. That's what happens on 14 January for Lieutenant Hansen. By sharing assets with a sister squadron, VMF 212, 215 was able to put up 24 Corsairs in support of a TBM strike on one of Rabaul's airfields. Along with a contingent of New Zealand P-40s, they meet approximately 70 Japanese fighters near the target. The fight breaks down to divisions, or sections, or individual battles as the Japanese attack. Section leader Hansen and his wingmen follow TBM through its bomb run, then get mixed up with a contingent of Zeros near the rally point. Zeros, P-40s, Corsairs, and TBMs, as well as Hellcats, SBDs, and additional Corsairs from an earlier strike duck in and out of clouds in a deadly cat-and-mouse game. Hansen and his wingmen get the drop on a pair of Zeros. Hansen flames his, while his wingman chases the other into a cloud. Watching the cloud for his wingman to reappear, Hansen latches on to 2 Zeros that pop out instead. He chases one down to the deck. Not a good idea for a Zero to try to outdive a Corsair, and Hansen catches and destroys it a couple hundred feet off the ocean. Using clouds for cover, Hansen climbs and searches for another victim. It's a swirl of white and blue, with fleeting glimpses of the enemy, who are quickly lost as they play the same game. Hansen pops out of a cloud to jump 2 Zeros, sending one down, then ducking back into the cloud cover himself before the other could respond. Soon after, he finds himself under a Zero, a little nose up, and he's in perfect position for an unobserved shot. The Zero spouts flames and trails smoke down to the sea for his 4th kill of the day. Hansen continues to dance in and out of the clouds, looking for an advantage, as Japanese pilots do the same. He catches 1 Zero headed back towards Rabaul, apparently believing the fight was over, and just cruising back straight and level. Hansen makes him pay for his complacency and sends him down in flames. Hansen has kind of overstayed his welcome at this point. His fuel state tells him it's past time to be headed back to Torikina, but he has a pair of Japanese fighters that are cutting him off each time he tries to turn south, forcing him back into cloud cover. Eventually, he draws them in and is able to violently reverse just as he enters the cloud, taking them 180 out as he pours on the power and dives for speed. He lands back at Torikina 20 minutes after the last 215 pilot had returned, with just 20 gallons of fuel, or maybe 15 minutes of flying time remaining. It was a big day for 215. In addition to the 5 kills credited to Hansen, 215 scores an additional 14. They lose 3 of their own, though. 1 in a takeoff accident, and 2 in combat. The next several days, 215 is either off the schedule or has its mission canceled for weather. So it's not until January 18th that they head back to Rabaul. Hansen's not flying. 215 scores 10 kills to no losses. The squadron is scheduled on the 20th to escort 36 B-25s to one of the several airfields ringing Rabaul. They would provide 4 divisions, 16 aircraft, as part of a large escort of 8 P-38s, 8 F-6F Wildcats, 20 P-40s, and an additional 20 Corsairs from other squadrons. The Japanese strike as the bombers are coming off target, and Hansen and his wingmen race to the aid of a lagging B-25 being attacked by a solitary Zero. Hansen flames the Zero for his 11th kill, but it's too late for the B-25, which goes down just offshore of the Japanese-held island of New Ireland. A PBY Catalina flying boat makes a daring rescue, and all are saved. The Dumbo aircraft, as the search and rescue aircraft were called, did great work in the Solomons campaign, rescuing hundreds of aviators. I'll tell their story one day. 215 is back in action on the 22nd, part of a mixed force of 80 fighters escorting 18 B-25s on another airfield strike near Rabaul. There is no opposition until after the B-25s release their bombs, then all hell breaks loose and aircraft start going down. Despite their losses, the Japanese are still putting up 30 to 70 fighters to oppose every raid. But their losses are mounting, and Japanese Admiral Koga, commander of the Japanese Combined Fleet, once again has to reinforce the hurting 11th Air Fleet on Rabaul with the planes and pilots of the 2nd Carrier Division. It's his last pool of experienced naval aviators, and it's going to break against the tide of Allied fighters over Rabaul. The experienced pilots do take a toll on the Allied aircraft, however, and Hansen watches as a swarm of Zeros take out 2 Corsairs from a sister squadron. Hansen wades into the fight, bagging 2 Zeros and a Tony. On 24 January, 215 escorts a bomber raid to Rabaul, planned with a squadron record of 29 aircraft. Well, only 17 make it up to Torikina, and 13 eventually fly the missions, as the Corsairs continue to have mechanical issues. Hansen is one of those continued on the mission, but he's having supercharger trouble again, which limited his performance at higher altitudes. He's lagging his division, and like back in August when he got his 2nd kill, it works out for him when a pair of Zeros pulls up right in front of him. He sends both down on fire. Hansen plays the game of dipping in and out of clouds and catches a Tony that he sends down. He continues on the hunt, jumping a pair of Zeros and sending one down. He now heads for the rally point, where he breaks up a group of Zeros attacking some retiring Avengers. He heads home with the Avengers, credited with 3 kills and a probable. It was at 18 kills now. The 26th saw 215 as part of a force of 88 fighters, escorting a mix of SBDs and TBMs to Rabaul. They run into approximately 50 Zeros just off target. Fight's on. Hansen again claims 3 and a probable, part of the 14 kills and 8 probables 215 claimed. At 21 kills, Hansen has surpassed Ken Walsh as the leading Corsair ace and is closing on the American record of 26. Unlike Pappy Boeington, who was hounded by the press as he approached the record, Hansen is pretty much unrecognized. He's run up a score too fast for the word to spread back to the home front. And unlike the larger-than-life Boeington, Hansen has a much more reserved personality, He's well-liked enough. He's just not the type of person to attract attention to himself. On the 27th, BMF-215 makes the move up from Vella La Vella to operate out of the newly opened Piva Yoke fighter strip, now one of three Allied airstrips at Torrequina, where they will occupy tents alongside the runway. It definitely helps out. The missions from Vella La Vella were close to 12-hour events, with the pre- and post-mission stops at Torrequina for fuel, and the move to Piva Yoke would cut that dramatically. Unfortunately, the Marine perimeter remains only a few miles inland. Their new home was within range of Japanese artillery. The next day, 215 puts up a limited amount of birds, then sent out 20 on the morning of the 30th to escort the daily bomber raid. There is no opposition this time, and Hansen returns without scoring. The men are lounging around, enjoying their afternoon off, when the call comes to scramble Max aircraft. A Japanese carrier has been reported in Simpson Harbor at Rabaul, and the Marines are making a max effort to sink it. Hansen has moved up to division lead by now, and his division is part of the 17 aircraft scrambled by 215. The airspace around Cape Torrequina is busy as fighters roar off Piva Yoke, while attack birds launch off Piva Uncle. The Japanese intercept the inbound raid, and aircraft start falling. Hansen and his wingmen watch a Corsair streak by with a Zero on its tail and turn to engage. When the Zero pitches off the Corsair it was chasing, it pulls up right in front of Hansen, who flames it. Once again, the tropical sky is dotted with clouds, and as Hansen and his wingmen emerge from one, they spot two Ki-44 Tojo fighters, who are unaware of the Marines approaching from behind. Hansen shoots one down, while the other scatters for the safety of the clouds. He doesn't get away, though. Hansen spots him emerging from the clouds, chases him down, and sends him into the water. Retiring to the rally point, Hansen finds a swirl of airplanes, as dozens of aircraft mix it up or run for home. He splices a Zero with a head-on pass, and finishes the day with a strafing run on a heavily defended radar site off New Ireland. 215's commander had warned his pilots about strafing the site. It was heavily defended, and in the CO's eyes, not worth the risk. But it's hard to rein in a bunch of aggressive fighter pilots, jacked on adrenaline from combat. In the end, there was no aircraft carrier. But the TBMs and SBDs score hits on other shipping in the harbor, and 215 ends the day with 11 claimed kills to one loss. Hansen's score sits at 25 kills, with 20 kills coming in just over 2 weeks. It's been a big month for 215, with the squadron accounting for 85 credited kills for the month of January, while losing 8 Corsairs and 4 pilots. 215 isn't back in action until 3 February, escorting a mix of nearly 100 TBMs and SBDs on an airfield strike. The Japanese opposition is light, and Hansen is frustrated in his efforts to engage the enemy. With a full load of ammo as the strike retires, Hansen heads down to strafe a radar site. Flight lead Hal Spears watched as Hansen headed down, saying, quote, "He strafed all right. Some ack-ack shot at him and tore off part of one wing. He pulled up low over the water and skimmed along to make a water landing. Then one wing hit the water, and he cartwheeled over and over in a big splash of water. Nothing but debris and an oil slick remained." Unquote. Hansen's incredible streak was over. His commander, Major Robert Owens, bitterly said after his death, quote, "He wasn't afraid of anything. He took unnecessary risks, though. It was his own fault. He was probably trying too hard to pass Foss and Boeington." Unquote. Not many of Hansen's peers would agree with that sentiment, though. They would say Hansen was aggressive, but not a glory hound. He was just doing his job to the best of his ability. 215's final combat flight took place on 12 February. They shoot down a Tony and a Zero for the squadron's final kills. The fight for the airspace over Rabaul didn't last much longer. When Admiral Mitchell's carrier strike force hits Truk over 2 days, on 16 and 17 February, over 250 Japanese aircraft are lost. With those losses and the losses over Rabaul, the Japanese high command decides that Rabaul is no longer defensible, and remaining aircraft are flown off by 25 February. Rabaul is left to wither on the vine. They had taken a beating from the daily bomber raids. We're living in caves by that point for the most part. It would just get harder as the war progressed. Supply ships weren't making it in, and food was becoming a problem. Rabaul passed into the backwater of the war, a training target for aircrew on their way to the battles of the Central Pacific and beyond. About a month after 215 departs, the Japanese forces on Bougainville make a push against the American perimeter around Torokina. They attack the perimeter with 15,000 troops on 9 March. They have only limited success and are quickly pushed back. By 27 March, the attack has fizzled out. Like their comrades on Rabaul, the Japanese on Bougainville are cut off. While small-scale fighting will continue until the end of the war, the Japanese are more concerned with trying to stay alive than with any offensive operations. The fighting in the South Pacific is effectively over. The aerial battles in the Solomons from August of 1942 until March of 1944 have left the Japanese naval air arm a shell of its former self. They have lost heavily in aircraft and pilots. Their aircraft are outclassed, and their elite pre-war veterans are mostly dead, replaced by poorly trained new guys. Whenever they do appear, they are swarmed by Allied aircraft looking for a kill. They will never again meet the Allies on near equal terms, as they did over the Guadalcanal in 1942. The Corsair would stay in production from 1942 to 1953. It would be the longest production run for any U.S. piston engine aircraft. 12,571 Corsairs, 16 different variants, would be built. The Corsair would fly 44% of the U.S. Navy Marine Corps fighter missions during the war and account for 2,140 claimed aerial combat victories against 189 losses, for an overall kill ratio of over 11-1. As the air-to-air threat diminished, the Corsair would increasingly be used in the ground attack role, being equipped to drop bombs and napalm, fire rockets and cannons. Post-war, the fighter mission increasingly was handed over to the early jets, but the Corsair would continue to fly with the Marine Corps, as well as for Navy carriers, as a ground attack platform, and would see combat in Korea. It proved to still have a sting, achieving 13 air-to-air kills both day and night in Korea, even bagging one MiG-15. It was ultimately withdrawn from U.S. service in 1957. That wasn't the end of the Corsair's service, though. Many Allied nations had flown the Corsair during World War II, and it would continue to serve internationally post-war as well, notably seeing combat with the French in Indochina. The Corsair last saw action in the soccer war between Honduras and El Salvador in 1969. During that brief fight, Captain Fernando Soto shot down 3 El Salvadorian aircraft, achieving the last air-to-air kills for a Corsair. The Corsair was finally retired from active military service in 1979, 39 years after the prototype's first flight. Hansen's Medal of Honor would be the last awarded to a Marine aviator in World War II. The Solomons campaign would prove to be the heyday of the Marine Corps fighter pilot, and really of Marine aviation in World War II. 9 of the 11 Medals of Honor awarded to Marine aviators in World War II would go to Marine fighter pilots in the Solomons. For the rest of the war, the Marines would operate in mostly a support role, going ashore after initial landings had secured airfields, being used in a mostly ground attack role as cleanup operations were ongoing. There were notable exceptions, like the Battle of Okinawa, where the Marine fighters were involved in the defense of the fleet from kamikazes. But as far as large-scale area engagements, there were few for the Marines after the Solomons. Marine aviation had greatly expanded in the course of the war, going from a pre-war total of 11 squadrons and 500 pilots to 145 squadrons and over 10,000 pilots at its peak in 1944. Those pilots flew a vast array of different aircraft types, from huge 4-engine bombers to tiny utility aircraft. However, for many, including myself, Marine aviation will forever be that Marine fighter pilot and his Corsair, the skies of the South Pacific. Bob Hansen had dreamed of returning to India after the war, but it was not to be. He died one day short of his 24th birthday. His Medal of Honor citation read, "For gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty, as fighter pilot attached to Marine Fighting Squadron 215 in action against enemy Japanese forces at Bougainville, November 2, 1943, and New Britain Island, January 24, 1944. Undeterred by fierce opposition and fearless in the face of overwhelming odds, First Lieutenant Hansen fought the Japanese boldly and with daring aggressiveness. On November 1st, while flying cover for our landing operations at Empress Augusta Bay, he dauntlessly attacked 6 enemy torpedo bombers, forcing them to jettison their bombs and destroying one Japanese plane during the action. Cut off from his division while deep in enemy territory during a high cover flight over Simpson Harbor on January 24th, First Lieutenant Hansen waged a lone and gallant battle against hostile interceptors as they were orbiting to attack our bombers, and striking with devastating fury, brought down 4 Zeros and possibly a 5th. Handling his plane superbly in both pursuit and attack measures, he was a total master of aerial combat, accounting for a total of 25 Japanese aircraft in this theater of war. His great personal valor and invincible fighting spirit were in keeping with the highest traditions of the United States Naval Service. The Marine Corps Aviation Association's Robert M. Hansen Award each year goes to the Marine Fighter Attack Squadron of the Year. Number 5.